Why is it so many great guys seem to be called Leonardo? 800 years ago, Leonardo Fibonacci published a book in Italy that gave the Western world new numbers. Liber Abaci, or Book of Calculation, appeared in the year MCCII, as they used to call it. After publication, Westerners learned to write 1202, or the year 1202. They also learned to add, subtract, multiply, and divide without an abacus, which, after all, can be cumbersome to carry around. Our math guy here on Weekend Edition, Keith Devlin, joins us now to celebrate the anniversary of 1, 2, 3, and their 7 siblings' grand debut. He's on the campus of Stanford University. Keith, thanks for being with us.
Hi, Scott. Good to be here, as usual.
Mr. Fibonacci, unlike other great Italian designers, was an importer of numbers, I gather.
Right, yes. He didn't invent them. In fact, he came from a trading family. His father, I mean, remember, in those days, Pisa, along with Venice and Genoa, that was the center of trading. The Pisans, the Venetians and the Genoans had ships and they would trade all around the Mediterranean. Leonardo's father was posted to North Africa where he ran a customs house. And Leonardo's father invited his son, he knew that his son was a bright kid, he invited him out to help him with his work and also to advance his studies. And it was while he was in North Africa traveling around that Leonardo learned about this new system of writing numbers, which the Arabic scholars had picked up from the Indians. It was in the early part of the first millennium that Indian mathematicians developed the kind of number system that we now use today.
How was it an improvement, Keith? I mean, why 5V? What's the big deal?
Oh, well, with a bit of effort, you can add and subtract numbers in Roman numerals. But you just try multiplying a couple of numbers written in Roman numerals, and you'll very quickly realize that it's not a good system. In fact,
let's say XXV times times V, for that matter. Okay,
so right, and
V times V. I see your point.
That comes with a math guy warning. Don't try this one at home, children. Yeah. No, it was in fact what the Arab scholars did and what the European scholars did was use an abacus, as did the traders. They used a physical abacus for calculation, and then they recorded the answer in Roman numerals. So they had two systems: the new system that came from the Indians through the Islamic scholars and then via Leonardo to the West meant you could use the same notation for writing them. And for doing the calculations, you didn't need a physical abacus.
So that, of course, made commerce more portable, didn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It really did revolutionize. It took a while. It took 200 or 300 years before it really began to take over. In fact, it was the scientific revolution in the 15th, 16th, 17th centuries that really showed the importance of this. The main effect that Leonardo's book had was on the trading section. And traders very quickly learned that this was a much better way of doing business. Mm-hmm. And so the traders took it first, and it was only later that the academics, the scholars, and then the scientists learned that this was a really valuable tool. In fact, Leonardo's book was not the first one that brought these new number systems into Western Europe. There was a translation of works by Al-Khwarizmi about a half a century before Fibonacci came along. But that was written purely for the scholars. It never broke out into the world at large.
This is the same Fibonacci who identified the... I can't imagine there'd be two people with the same name. Leonardo Fibonacci, the Fibonacci sequence.
That's right. And in fact, you and I talked about...
Sequence of pine cones.
Right, that's right. There's this sequence of numbers that you find in sunflower seeds, pine cones, petals and leaves of plants, nautilus shells and so forth, all over nature. In his book, he gave hundreds and hundreds of examples. Many of the examples were business examples about trading and commerce, but he had a sense of humour. He threw in a whole bunch of fairly whimsical problems with nice little stories. One of them was a story about the growth of a population of sexually active rabbits. And to solve the problem, you have to generate this sequence of numbers. It's 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13, 21, by adding the last two numbers you've got to give you the next one.
And, of course, we refer to it as the rabbit problem. Probably wasn't a problem for the rabbits.
No, the rabbits just did what comes natural to rabbits and many other creatures as well, including humans, for that matter.
Right. Well, what do we know about Leonardo Fibonacci?
Well, first of all, his name was not Fibonacci. He was called Leonardo Pisano, or Leonardo of Pisa. He was from the Bonacci family, and a 19th century historian said, Leonardo of Pisa was in the Bonacci family. Let's take the Latin phrase Filius Bonacci, which means son of Bonacci, and make it Fibonacci. But that's a name that came along in the 19th century. We don't know what he looked like. We don't know whether he married. We don't know whether he had children. We know almost nothing except a little bit. In Libera Abaci, he wrote a short paragraph explaining about his father being a customs official and saying that it was in North Africa that he learnt the system. That's pretty well all we know about the guy. Everything else is a mystery.
We don't know what he looked like, but there's a statue of him in Pisa, as I understand it?
That's right. Over the years, I'd seen many references to this statue of Leonardo. I'd even seen photographs of this statue. And a few weeks ago, I was in Italy, and I made a trip to Pisa because I wanted to take a look at this thing. And so when I was there, I went along. I couldn't find it. So I went into the tourist information office, the official tourist information office, next to the Leaning Tower, and I walked up to the lady and said, "Where's the statue of Leonardo of Pisa?" And she gave me one of those withering looks that they give Americans and Brits that go to Europe and said, "You mean Leonardo da Vinci?" And I said, no, Leonardo of Pisa. She said, "Leonardo da Vinci." She was convinced that I was a complete imbecile. I tried once more. I said, no, Fibonacci, Leonardo Fibonacci, mathematician. No, she said, "There's no such person, no statue." About an hour later, less than 50 paces away from this lady, I found the statue. It's a wonderful statue. The person who's made the statue has made him a tall, romantic figure, the kind of beautiful mathematician I wished we all were.
It's and not just you.
Yeah. Not just me. And it, you know, it really is a wonderful emblem to one of the two greatest people in Pisan history, the other one being Galileo.
Well, Keith, thanks very much.
Okay, my pleasure, Scott.
Keith Devlin, who's Executive Director of the Center for the Study of Language and Information at Stanford University in Palo Alto, California, I guess is the state. But at the top of his resume is the fact that he's the weekend edition math guy.
Well, 13 multiply by 1, you still got 13, but wasn't that fun? Now take the same 13, multiply by 2, 26 hours, the train's overdue. Yeah, you got 2 again, you got 2 again. You used to love me once and now you got 2 again. You got 2 again, you got 2 again. You used to love me once and now you got 2 again. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, happy people divided by 1, leave nothing, nothing, none. You got 2 again, you got 2 again. You used to love me once and now you got 2 again. You got 2 again, you got 2 again. You used to love me once.